This is the seminar titled, I Will Not Know What Kind of Mother I Was Until I See How You Raise Your Own Children. And thank you for the men who have come. I don't know why the men thought this was a woman's only thing. Because several people asked me if men could come. So I'm glad the men are here. Yeah. My mother would often say that phrase to me when I was growing up, and now I've seen how our own daughters are raising their children, and I smile at the Lord's grace, as my husband and I worked in concert with what God revealed to us from the Bible. And we're going to cover five principles, and I pray that you will enjoy what God might be speaking to you today. I know the Lord has been speaking to me all week through the messages and a quiet time out in the woods. And so I think today's message is a little richer than Tuesday's was. So praise God we are here for Friday. And thank you, Mount Hermon, for being willing to tape it today, even though you're going to use Tuesdays. So we'll see. My name is Rain Ishida. I am married to Corey Ishida, and we have three grown daughters. And as they have said before, we have 11 grandchildren. And it is a joy for me to see how my own girls are raising their children in the admonition of God's word. So with that in mind, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you very much for letting us influence children, whether we're parents or not. Whether we're grandparents or not, you have put children in our lives to bless. We are here to bless the next generation. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to grow, to be encouraged, and to open our awareness of your plans for the next generation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kindness. I pray in your mighty name. Amen. The number one character quality I like to emphasize when I am working with children and when I was raising our own children, the number one thing I, both Corey and I, focused on was a respect for authority. And to us, this was paramount because if we could teach our children to respect us human beings, then they would be more open to respect someone even higher than us. And so training them to respect and love us was training them to understand what that looks like so that when God is introduced throughout their day, they can embrace him more readily too. Because they can see us and maybe they can't see the Lord, but at least they understand what that looks like or can look like. So respect for authority, the honor of those who have God has placed over us. And if you are parents, then God has given you the authority to train up your children in the way they should go. And the main thing that all of us believers, our goal is to love God and to love others. That's the highest command. So that's what our direction should head toward, loving God and loving others. And they go hand in hand. You can't just be a God lover without becoming a people lover at the same time. And you can't just be a people lover and think because you are good to people that you love God. So they both go hand in hand. And we follow the admonition of what the Word of God says. So in Matthew 28:18, the Lord tells us, as one of his last words before he is raised, ascends into heaven, is that all authority on earth and in heaven has been given to him. So he's already told us he has the highest authority. Then Paul tells us in Romans that everyone must submit to their governing authorities. And why? The authorities that exist have been established by God. So it doesn't even matter what your political affiliations are. The one who's our president, whether we like it or not, is the one that God has established to be our leader. And as hard as it is to maybe support anybody that we don't admire, he says you're still to respect and honor them. Unless they're doing something contrary to Scripture, then you can, there are avenues of appeal, but we are to pray then. In Mark 12, Jesus said, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and to God what is his. Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And that was one of the very first commands we ever got anyway, was to honor our parents and to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. I like it when parents, people address people by their authoritative title. For instance, we call our president, president. We don't say president of the United States. We say the president. And we understand what that means. That's a high title of authority. The title of mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, teacher, aunt, uncle, coach, pastor, captain, boss, camp director, Mr., Mrs., Miss., doctor. These are all titles that we submit to when they are in authority over us. So we do what the doctor says. What did your teacher say? So you're teaching young ones that those in authority over them have, God has placed them there so that for our good, for our good. I remember a story about a playground that was on the edge of a cliffhanger. And there were no fences around this playground. So the children, when they would go out to play, they would just huddle together. They were so afraid. They didn't want to go out there because they might fall off the cliff. And God knows that we have that same tendency to fall off the cliff like those little sheep that will follow another sheep right off the cliff. Unless there's some kind of barrier there to keep it, to give us some kind of warning and security. And so that's what the Word of God does for us. It's like being placed on a big open, you know, the grassy field, the green pastures, but he puts a fence around us, a barrier of goodness for our own security. And so we do that with our children. When they understand what their barriers are in your home or in their education or on the basketball court, they know what the boundaries are, and they have to stay within those boundaries. Even rules, you know, that's what rules are for. So we're all playing the same game. And we know that if you don't play by the rules, then there's anarchy. And nobody likes anarchy, and there's confusion and chaos. And it's the same with God's word. If we don't live by it, then we will have a life of chaos. And so will your children if you don't give them some kind of parameters. And the best parameter that you can choose for your children is this. And that's why you teach them. You do teach them Bible verses. You do mention the Lord as you're talking to them, because he has such authority over you. And speak with your children. Say, you know what God told me today? I was convicted about something God told me today. And you can even tell them what sin he revealed to you, to show his authority over you. You can share with them the goodness that God is showing them right there in the car. So use his name often in your everyday language. I believe that when children learn how to follow you, follow and respect authority, they are the best candidates to be leaders. I think most of the people here at Mount Hermon are actually church leaders. I would think most of you lead somewhere in your church. That's why you're up here. You place a high priority on the Word of God. You place a high priority in knowing how you can live out this Christian life. So learn to follow God's authority well so that you can speak with authority to your children, and any child you influence. Mm-hmm. I remember once, I believe that when a teacher tells you something, you just, you know, just tell your kids, is that what your teacher said, you know? And Sunday happens to be in here at this time, and she was given some, our friends were going on vacation, and they wanted to give their child swimming lessons that their child had missed to Sunday. And it was at a private home where the teacher gave lessons. And I would get to sit there and listen to the teacher give all these instructions and watch Sunday improve in her swimming just in 1 week. And then one day the teacher said something, and I heard her, and so she asked Sunday, so what are you supposed to do when da-da-da-da-da? So Sunday gave her the answer the teacher told everybody. And I don't know what happened to that teacher, but she said, that is not what I said. And she picked up Sunday and threw her in the pool. Oh, I'm telling you this story because I was frozen. I thought, she's the teacher, and I shouldn't say anything. But later, God chided me and said, you could have said something, because she had just, to me, she had cut Sunday's soul. And I didn't come to her rescue. And I let that authority overrule my authority as a parent. So sometimes you have to make your appeals as a parent to protect your children from authorities which are harmful. And there are God-given ways. You go to them personally, and if they don't, then you go to their superior. And if they, you know, nothing is changing, well, I could just pull her out of class. But it was the last day of class. And as you know what happened, we live in a retirement home. Now, Sunday, this must have been 30 years ago. And that same lady was teaching swimming at Atherton. I was like, oh, I couldn't believe it. I just stared because I thought she was old then. And here it was 30 years later, and she's teaching swimming. I felt like going over there and pushing her in. But God said, don't do that. Yeah, and so I had to really come to grips with, there are times when you can defend your children and not just blindly, you know, let the authorities injure your children. But so anyway, when we learn to be good followers and people who submit to authority, then God gives us authority to say as he would have us say. Like this morning, just because of my age and my experience, I feel like I have authority to say something this morning. But it's mainly because Karen asked me, and I always say yes to Karen. But and maybe she sees I have some kind of authority. Well, you do too. God gives you an authority to raise your kids, help train their friends. Maybe you work with children. So he gives you an authority just because you're their teacher. Follow well so you can lead well and teach the young ones that you influence well. So if we understand that God is the highest authority in the planet and in the universe, and this high authority stooped so low because he loves you and me and he went to the cross, what kind of authority is that? That's a loving authority. And when your children taste your loving authority, they will bow down. That brings us into a grateful spirit. Ephesians 5:19b, verse 20. Sing and make music in the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even Pastor Greg talked about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how high and mighty it is, how holy it is. We are to give thanks to that God. In Colossians, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Joyfully giving thanks. Son, can you just whisper to them? Yeah. Thank you. We can because my granddaughter's in that group. And our friend leads it, so it's okay. 1 Thessalonians, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in everything. Because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And I used to balk at that, you know. What do you mean, always, continually, all circumstances? That's impossible. And it's only impossible if you're not even thinking about the Lord. You're just thinking about your situation. Just thinking about what you can see. It is impossible. So if our hearts and minds are stayed on Jesus, it will help us to look at each circumstance that comes along where we're prone to just go, I can't believe it. And I'm supposed to give thanks in this. Believe it. Believe it. Christians, therefore, I believe Christians should be the most grateful people on earth. And why? Because we have been forgiven of our sin. I grew up in the church. I became a Christian at the age of 13. I went forward in front of the whole church. I got baptized the next Sunday, and I was the only one in high school, church school. I just was faithful to the church. I just would go. And so I felt good about myself. In fact, I felt pretty proud of myself. And when God called my husband into the ministry, it was like, what? I did not marry a pastor. This is like the lowest thing you could do, God. Because I already had my conception of what a pastor is, a preconceived idea of what a pastor's wife was and what their kids were like. They were the worst kids in the church. The church I went to anyway. And the pastor's wife, no, I would not want to be like her. No. And so I just was really angry at God about that. Because I had an ungrateful spirit. And you know why I had an ungrateful spirit? Because I never saw myself as a sinner. And if you don't think you're a sinner, what have you been saved from? Salvation, easy peasy. And I came to a moment of a deep reflection and conviction. And that conviction made me fall to my face. And I saw myself as a sinner for the very first time. And that was a very defining moment in my life. And God was trying to show me how I had the fear of man versus the fear of God. And when I have the fear of man, I will do everything I can to look good to other people. But he showed me that I have not been looking good at all to him, but he still loves me. He loves me very deeply. And he's been very patient with me. And that's when Jesus became my Lord. He was my Savior. If I had died that day, I would have headed for heaven. Because I have faith that he died for my sins, even though I didn't have an idea what that was. But I believed he died for something, you know, something bad in me. And that he paid for my sins. I did believe that. But I didn't embrace him as my Lord and King and Master and sovereign authority. And after that time, he changed my life. So I'm so grateful now for my salvation. I know I am because I can't help but tell children about the gospel when I get to teach. I can't help but pray for my non-Christian friends, get the kids to pray for our non-Christian relatives and friends. You know, we need to pray for them. We should be so grateful that we can be the ones to share Jesus with somebody. We have the Lord God in us. A grateful spirit crowds out complaint. The children are complaining. They're envious or covetous. They're jealous. They're easily offended. Say, ahead of time. Okay, ahead of time you say, wow, aren't you blessed to have a little sister like that? Aren't you blessed to have a big brother that cares for you like that? And when you put the idea of gratitude for the people that irritate them, they have very little room for complaint. And there's also this little subtle thing that negative attention is better than no attention. So maybe mommy hasn't even acknowledged that I'm here in the house until I make some ruckus with my brother or sister. At least I'll get some attention, even if it is negative. That's a thought. A grateful heart promotes contentment. It promotes generosity. Generosity. And I don't mean just generous in time and your toys and sharing. I mean, I'm talking about generosity where it hurts. Looking out for the interests of others, the sharing thing, the thankfulness thing. When we can embrace respect for God's authority with a grateful heart, then the following principles can also be embraced. But I would concentrate on these two. Ask God to give you wisdom on how to instill these kind of character qualities in your children. I did touch on confidence and standing alone when I had the fear of man, and God came in and said, you need to be more fearful of me than what people think. You need to be more, what's the word? More concerned about what I think than what people think. Oh, I just forgot something. This one goes under the category of respect for authority, okay? And I think this is good for our family life. This is an umbrella, okay? And this big umbrella is God, is the Lord. And he gives us authority because he wants us to live in order, with some kind of order in our life. And and so in Ephesians 5, you'll notice this order. And we don't like it. But it's the truth. And so we need to embrace it. Respect his authority of his word. And then comes the husband. And he falls under the umbrella of Christ, who is God. And then the wife falls under the umbrella of the husband. And the children are covered by all three. And when we get out of order, if we pull ourselves out from the protection of the Lord or our husband, or the children pull out their protection from the mom and father and God, you get wet. So if we stay in the right order of God's plan, then we can work in better harmony to his order. And, you know, wives, it's so difficult to listen to our husbands when we're right. And husbands, it's so difficult to listen to your wife because you're supposed to love her as a church and give yourself up for her. And children, obey your parents. That's why we kindly and prayerfully help them understand what it means to respect authority, because we don't want them to get wet. Okay, so now we're back on number three, confidence and standing alone. Fear of man versus fear of God. Proverbs 29, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe and dry. Matthew 10, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Acts 5, we must obey God rather than man. Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, it reminds me of that children's message that Tom gave, you know, where the those golf balls that were the same length, had the same length of string on them. If he started one golf ball going back and forth, then the other two start doing the same thing. They're in synchronized form. And it's like when we think, when our minds are set on Christ, then when he moves, we move with him. But if our mind is not set on Christ, then we're just going to go wherever we want. And I like that illustration he made. Again, most of our training is for training. Like, you want to warn your children that one day your friends are going to do something that you know is not right. Or you'll be tempted to do something that you know is not really good or right. And so that will be called pressure. You will be tempted to do something that's not right. And that's the moment you turn to God. You say, oh God, I really feel like doing something that's wrong. But my mom and dad warned me, this is going to happen. So I'm to turn to you, and you please help me. That you're teaching your child to stand alone. Your friends are going to want to go someplace that you know is not, or do something, or say something, or look at something, and you know that's not right. Can you be ask Jesus to help you stand alone, even though you're the only one not doing it? You know, God sees everything, and he knows you're standing alone. And he went to the cross alone. He knows what it feels like to be alone. And he went to the cross alone so that you would never have to be alone. He will always be with you. Always be with you. You will never have to really stand alone. Jesus is with you. And we are with you. We will help you. We'll help you. If you just need some rescue, you don't want to be at that place right then and there, just give us a call. We'll come pick you up. A heart for the lost. There's a phrase in a song I really like, and it goes like this. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And when you pray that song, he will break your heart. And I think the number one thing that breaks God's heart are the lost. The lost, the ones who don't know him yet. Matthew 28:19, again, with that, all authority has been given unto me, he says, so you go. I am giving you my authority for you to go and share the gospel. It's like getting knighted by God. You're knighted to go and share the gospel. You know, just kneeling there, getting knighted by God to go and share the gospel. And we don't even have to go too far to do that. but maybe he will send you to another nation. Luke 15 is full of the parables of the lost things, lost sheep, lost coin, lost person. Then all of angels rejoice over the sinner who repents. And again, in your daily conversation, you can mention the gospel. Wow. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Thank you for showing us what our sin is and for forgiving us just because we ask you to. Or during the day, oh, thank you for being more powerful than death. Thank you that you're going to come back one day and we're all going to be with you together in heaven. You can say these kinds of things when things go bad. Things aren't working out the way your children would like them to, or you don't. Often speak of those who are lost, like you're very concerned about them. Oh, auntie and uncle still don't know Jesus. We need to keep praying for them. We need to keep praying for them. Purposely invite your unsaved neighborhood friends over to your house. They'll see that you act different. You say things that they never heard before. They pray before they eat. They know that you love them because you tell them. That you're happy they came over. A place they know they're well received. Go on a mission yourself or go with your family. Help contribute to the needs of missionaries as a family. So they will get to know that missions is important to your family because it's important to God. God wants all of the world to be saved. All of the world. And you can start with your little world and your children's little world. So missions should be going on in your home all the time just by the things you say. I was sharing about salvation on Tuesday. And you know how salvation is not something the devil wants us to know about or anybody to know about. And just happened that morning, Pastor Greg talked about how God doesn't wound us, but he's aware of what will wound us. But it's the devil that's doing this, all the evil, and would want to distract us. It's not God, but he allows the distraction to happen for his glory. For his glory. Well, on Tuesday, I was standing up here, and I got distracted. So distracted, because something was moving on the floor back there. You know, and then I kept talking, and then I saw what was moving on the floor back there. And I said out loud, I said, oh, it was just a bird, not a lizard. It was a bird that walked back there, not a lizard. I was happy it wasn't a lizard because I don't like lizards. I can live with a bird. And then people got distracted because they're, what? There's a bird in the room? And then it started to fly around here and it hit the wind. You know, it was flying around, hit the window. I'm going, oh, Lord, help this bird to get out of here. Bethany happened to be in here. She took off her jacket. She went over to capture the bird. And she kept saying, just go on, Mom. And we were all so distracted. We were, you know, how could we go on? There's a bird. And then she missed him. And then he flew around. I'm going, oh, he's heading for the door. Yes. Boom. He landed right into the window next to the door. And we all went, oh, like that. And then Bethany went over and looked behind the trash can, and it wasn't there. As God would have it, to bring himself glory, that bird landed straight down into the trash can and closed over it. And it was stunned, so it wasn't flapping around in there. And so when Bethany didn't see the bird, she just carefully pushed the trash can out the door and opened the lid, and it flew out. And I But I didn't know that's what had happened till afterwards that night. And I said, we all thought, what are the odds of getting a bird right into that trash can? And I saw God's glory. He let that little evil distraction in, but then he had the last say. He just trashed it. And I just thank God, you know, that he is in control of things, even though they seem terribly out of control. And he will do that for our children, too. And he will do that for our families and the children you teach, the children you have influence over. He will take the things that distract us and bring them into his glory. You pray for those who are lost. You pray and pray. It may take decades. And God may answer your prayer after you die. And at the age I am, I'm happy with it. Okay, even if I die, you remember every prayer I have said. I will forget. I have forgotten a lot of things I prayed for. But God never does. And he will bring about the things for his purposes. So if you are praying, just keep praying. And you know what? I didn't realize until later that bird came in again when I was talking. I had a sidebar. I wasn't even planning on saying this when that bird came in here. And I was telling, sharing an incident that happened in March. How a dear relative of ours, who we've been praying decades for, was in the hospital in emergency, you know, critical care, because it's heart. So we immediately went to the hospital because we've been praying for him, and he could die. And it happened to be a relative, a very close relative of Corey's, who also wasn't saved. And it was that person's father, 93 years old. We got to get over there. On the way over there, Corey and I decided I would be the one who would get to share with we'll call him Grandpa, with Grandpa, because we have a relationship. We share the same birthday, so we always, you know, acknowledge each other on our birthdays. And as my husband put it, he's kind of a stubborn guy. So you do it. You do it. And then we thought, wow, your other close relatives are going to be in the room and we can't have them in there. But as the Lord worked it out, they wanted to go get something in the cafeteria. So they went downstairs. I said, I'll stay with Grandpa. It was such a setup. I mean, it was their idea to go down to the cafeteria. And so I figured, okay, we have about 20 minutes to a half an hour. So on the way over to the hospital, I was praying, how am I going to bring this up? But I remembered that his wife had said that she wants her kids to come to our church. And his wife was active in the Buddhist church. And his wife had said, oh, I want my children to go to your church. I thought, you do? And we didn't. Anyway, we just were surprised. And after we had visited this man's wife years before, both Corey and I realized, you know what we should have said to her on her deathbed? We should have said, you know what? If you want to become a Christian right now, you can. And you can be buried in your Buddhist church. Because just because you're buried a Buddhist doesn't mean you are one. Just like if you're buried in a Christian church, doesn't mean you're a Christian. And so we had that. So I was sharing that idea that you can always share the gospel with someone on their deathbed and just tell them, you know, if that's the one thing that's going to keep them from accepting Jesus, just tell them. And so, well, I was trying to think, okay, I'm going to tell him what his wife said. So I did. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about it. I want Corey to do my funeral. Like, I was going, wow, Jesus, you have really got... He goes, yeah, I want Corey to do my funeral. I go, really? And I said, well, Grandpa. Just because you're going to be buried a Christian doesn't mean you are a Christian. Do you know what a Christian believes? And he goes, no. I go, you want me to tell you? Yes. So I explained the gospel, how Jesus loves us, but we are. I said, are you perfect, Grandpa? He goes, no. I go, I know. I'm not perfect either. And that's what makes us sinners. And I think just a light went on. I said, oh, yeah, that's what a sinner is? And I said, yeah, everybody's a sinner. And that's why we all need Jesus. We need to be forgiven. And he did that for us on the cross and explained how he did die for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He proved his power over sin and death by coming alive from the dead. And he's going to come back one day and take those who are still here on earth that believe in him up with him. Now, do you believe all that stuff? And he goes, yes. I said, okay, why don't you just tell God that you believe that? He goes, I haven't gotten to know him that long. So I said, oh, do you want me to lead you in a prayer? He goes, yeah. So I led him in a prayer. 5 minutes later, his daughter comes back. So did my dad convert you to be a Buddhist? And I was telling that story when that bird interrupted. Okay, and I said, well, as a matter of fact, he just became a Christian. He goes, what? Dad? Mom was buried a Buddhist. He goes, I know. And then I knew, oh, God has sealed this in his heart. Because, he was being hassled already. And God made him lucid. He was so lucid, he understood what the doctor was telling him. He made a decision for himself, what he would like done. He was so lucid. 3 days later, he died. I mean, God is so kind. And at the funeral service, he had a niece give his personal history. I didn't know who his niece was. So anyway, afterwards, I said, oh, I really appreciated the history that you gave. And she goes, I know, we all couldn't believe it, that he became a Christian. And Corey had given a message about how you can come to Jesus in the 11th hour. And as a witness to all the Buddhists that were there in the service. And I said, are you a Christian? She goes, yes, I told our church the Sunday after I heard that Grandpa became a Christian. I go, okay, all these people were praying for him all along. And then she could give a report of glory to her church. And we did not know that there were other Christians in his life. You just don't know what God is doing. So you and I and your children, we can pray and have a break. Let your heart break for those things that break God's. It breaks him that people don't love him when he loves them so much. It breaks, at least breaks my heart. And then love the things that God loves. Love the church. Do you love your church? Do you love the church in general? Husband, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus loves the church. He loves us. We are the church. And we are his body. You are the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians says, and each one of you is part of it. We are part of the church, Christians. Therefore, in Hebrews, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Nothing significant happens in the kingdom of God outside of the church. Nothing significant happens in the kingdom of God outside of the church. God uses his church. Gems is the work of churches. Gems is not the church. GEMS is a friend of the church. How many of you have come to church as a young person? How many? Anybody? Any in here? Look, you were young when you came here. Because your church, you went through your church. We should say, oh, wow, tomorrow is Sunday. We get to go to church. We get to go to church tomorrow. Are you happy to go to church tomorrow? Whenever? Are you? Oh, God, we have to go to church today. I am so tired. I wish we didn't have to go to church today. But I love it when people go out of their way to go to church. They don't feel so great. They had a late night. They got there. One thing I really appreciate about my mom is that she was the believer and my father wasn't. And she took all seven of us kids to church every Sunday, no matter what. I must admit, we had a very simple life. And so we were home on Saturday nights. And so going to church was like a big deal because we didn't do much of anything else. But we loved church. People there loved us. And I grew up in El Monte. And when you think of the San Gabriel Valley, it is like little Asia now. But back then it was not. And so I got so much love from people who probably thought the little Asian family were just so cute or pitiful. I don't know which. But I just remember my church loving us kids. If you are part of a church, I hope you are part of a ministry in your church. What kind of part of the body are you if you're not helping out? You know, like, you don't want your kids to be just at home doing nothing. You want them to participate, help around the house, and things like that. The same with the body of Christ. We should be in there to as a family of Christ. And so let them help you with your ministry. Maybe cook something for a dessert or whatever. But my highest recommendation is you show your kids how much you love church by doing something special after church, special before church, special in church, that you just love going to church. And you know what being here at Mount Hermon does? It increases our awareness that church is not just in our little church. There are so many churches up here at Mount Hermon, and your kids know a lot of kids from other churches. That's a big deal, I think, you know. And so they get to love the greater church because, yeah, I met them at Mount Hermon. We had such fun together. And a couple of summers ago, I went to the visitation day to the junior high camp. And all the parents were standing over here. And all the kids were coming out to their parents. And you know what? All those parents were once the kids at Mount Hermon. Although I saw them grow up, and they were even cabin leaders. And here they stood all together, and their kids are coming out to them. And I just had to take a picture of it. It was just evidence of God's grace from one generation to another. The thing that the Lord has been impressed upon me lately are two words. And the first word is passion. Okay, I just tried to take this off. The first word is passion, and the second word is passion. Okay, so we have passion here, and we have passion. And then as I'm listening to the messages, these two words came up again. And what the Lord has been teaching me personally is a balance between works and, let's see, grace. Grace and truth, you know, those who worship God must worship Him in truth and spirit. Okay, truth and spirit. So I'm a very truth person, you know. I have a goal and I go for it. And what the Lord is trying to show me is, yes, I want you to be passionate about the purpose I give you in life, but I want you to be compassionate as you do it. So he's been asking me to be compassionate over my passions. I want to have a purpose for the people that I influence and a purpose for me. But I want to do it with passion, with compassion. So if you turn over your paper, there's a list there. And I copied this from the book, Show Them Jesus, page 74. And on the left side column, it's more like, maybe I would put passion over there. And on the right side, it'd be more compassionate. Or on the left side, you could put down works. And on the right side, you can put down grace. On the left side, you might put down the gospel. Oh, good behavior, outer behavior. On the right side, you can put inner heart, condition of the inner heart. And you could call it the gospel news on the right side. So you can read about this later, and it just kind of is a checklist of what does your heart look like. And I was a person more on the left side, and God has been trying to show me I need to be a person who's on the right side. So he wants me to have a compassionate passion. Be compassionate with your children. They're not going to get it the first time, just like we don't get it the first time. And just love them into, and pray that they will have the kind of character that respects authority, that is grateful in all circumstances, that doesn't mind standing alone with Jesus, that has a heart for the lost and a love for the church. And I think that's the truth and spirit that God wants to blend in us as we influence others. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us your truth and your spirit to walk by faith and walk by sight, and walk by grace and not by sight. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that you will continue to reveal sin to us so that we can repent and become different. Help us, Lord, to take the time to listen to you while, especially while we're here at Mount Hermon, and then while we're at home, to seek you, to be hungry and thirsty for you, because you want us to bless the next generation. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us one another. You give us the church. You give us Mount Hermon. You give us so many good things. Bless us, Jesus, so that we can bless the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen.